Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and today I welcome my courageous and open-minded special guest, Lori Beck, author of I Am Living to Tell, which shares her story of living with two deadly forms of cancer, opting not to use traditional chemotherapy, but choosing instead to resolve issues that contributed to the development of her illness and making changes in her lifestyle. As a result of all her efforts, later test results no longer register any sign of the disease. Lori will recount her healing journey and how that difficult time taught her more about herself, her relationships, allowing her to find greater love of herself, others, and gratitude for life. Sometimes it may seem a horrific experience can bring about remarkable new beginnings. Hello, Lori.
Hello.
Lori, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within know, experience is not what happens to you. It is what you do with what happens to you. That happens to be a quote from Aldous Huxley, and it could not apply more to one of the main themes of this show, which is to help us awaken and to really know and appreciate our inner energetic self for a real sense of the magnificence of our life. For as we learn to empower ourselves, as you did in your journey, and to use this spiritual energy and also our physical gifts, we find a deeper sense of wholeness, a deeper sense of joy. We find creativity. And all this is an excellent way for living an authentic, prosperous, and healthier life experience. And we need to move past disease and despair and disenchantment, because when we do that, anything is possible when we let go of old ways and discover our inner strengths, as you did and as you're going to share with us. In this episode, Lori's going to describe the symptoms that led her to discover that she had lymphoma and a second incurable form of cancer. Now, at 42 years old and the successful owner of a Pilates studio, a wife and a mother, she was an unlikely candidate for any illness. She's going to share her experiences with several doctors and the different approaches offered to her and the decision she made along with her doctor to avoid chemotherapy and adopt a holistic process, which included energy medicine. Lori, I believe we are the sum total of our life experiences, both good and bad. Well, we just perceive them as good or bad. Really, they're just experiences. And this begins in our earliest interactions with our parents, our family, our friends, our teachers, and it goes up to our most recent experiences. You say in the book that you learned as a result of your illness what you had done in your precancerous life that you think may have created your health challenge. Can you tell us something about your beginning life and what you started to realize after your illness?
Well, I'll never forget. It started with, this is funny, not, but my mother used to say I was a difficult child. And I come from an Italian background.
I was told it's a sensitive child, so it's kind of similar.
And, you know, and also I was, what is the word? I never gave up. So if I wanted something, oh, I know, she would use the word I was relentless. So I was difficult and I was relentless. But really, as a child, I was full of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that. There were things that were going on, but I didn't know if that was normal or not. Again, I would hear, well, your grandfather had panic attacks. And again, you know, as a child, you hear these things and you're like, whatever. And I just remember certain situations I would feel very just uncomfortable.
That's a good word to use, uncomfortable. What you were, Lori, as am I and most of the people who have been guests on my show, was a sensitive. You were responding to energy and the emotions and processes of people around you. And it's a great spiritual gift, but until you learn how to use it and have the right people put you on the right path, it does present as being a little different. And so you are. And we're all uniquely different and very special. But 25% of the population experienced what you and I did as children. And it's a great gift that needed to be discovered. In your case, you had to go through an illness that learned, that taught you how to manage and understand your energy and the energy of other people, and to grow strong to be able to use it in a very productive way.
Yes. So the curse, it was a curse and it was a blessing.
Yes.
But I am also, because of it, I'm highly empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is feeling something, I'm feeling it. If someone, you know, walked by me and they're sad, I would, you know, I just would take on everybody's condition. And again, I didn't.
You're an empath. And
yes.
Most empaths turn to holistic healing practices, as you are a Pilates instructor, and now you've worked with Reiki and other healing modalities, and probably are pursuing that. You can learn to use that gift to help other people.
Yes. So I'm, but really my first connection, which again all makes sense, was I was very, very connected to animals.
Oh, that's a great gift too.
Yes. And I had, I'll never forget growing up as a child, we had 2 acres of property and I was always collecting all kinds of animals. I had two pet geese and, you know, I had a pony, and I would gather up all my animals because I loved to nurture and to take care of.
All right, and that it goes along with the gift of being an empath, being aware of nature and the beauty of this world, and really wanting to help people. Now, I know your mom and dad divorced because I read your book when you were 12, and you went to live with a grandmother who you had a great attachment to, and later in life took care of her for about 3 years. When she was about 89 years old. You also were married at a young age to someone who turned out to be complicated. I'm going to say it that way. You may want to say something.
That's a good word. I like that.
Well, more complicated perhaps, and as a sensitive, maybe was more than was right for your life path. And, you know, as a caretaker for your grandmother, and also, I know your second husband, Bob, cared for his mama, Dee, who had brain cancer. You were in some challenging positions before you developed your own cancer. So do you think that had anything to do with your health, being so in tune to others and being a caretaker for so many?
I think it played a part in the sense that when I was 19, yes, I met my, I guess I'll call him my first husband, and there were some things that took place that disrupted my life, and at the time I had a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old, and he had to go away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of started me having to be more responsible than what I had realized, and had also started the journey of having chronic stress. I mean, I never knew what was going to happen next. So I believe that as a child, my parents getting divorced, all that shame.
Well,
all
that was a stressful event.
Yes.
That was the first really stressful event. And
yes.
Sometimes we can't see the complications from those things that happen in childhood till way down the line. But let's get on to something else. What was your initial response when you learned you had cancer? The first thing you thought, and what did you proceed to do next?
That it made absolutely no sense.
Of course not.
That
you were young. You were active.
Mm-hmm. What they were telling me, I almost thought it was like I was in a dream and I couldn't wake up from it.
Mm-hmm.
And the dream just kept getting, it became a nightmare. So at 42, I am this healthy. I take care of people. I teach wellness. I eat well. I have a good family. Everything is working out to optimally. And then I get told this news. It made no sense.
No, it did not. But it only made sense in the bigger plan that perhaps you were born to experience that so you could write your book. So you could find another approach to healing, which is happening now all over the planet. There are people like us talking about these things to help people understand there are different approaches to health. And the healthcare system is in major change right now, because we need the alternative methods in with the traditional to really help people find their own way to adopt their path towards healing. No one can really tell us what to do. We have to be personally responsible to make choices. Now, tell us why you decided not to stay with your first doctor in Atlanta. Was that in Atlanta?
It was actually in Alabama. It was
okay. But then you found your way to Boston's Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. But I'm very concerned with your first interaction with the first doctor. It was not very good, and I want to address that for a moment. So can you tell us what the first doctor said to you?
Well, the first doctor was an internist, and he basically said, we need to do blood work. And yes, so I did my blood work, but he actually told me over the phone that I had potentially some kind of leukemia and that I needed to go see a cancer doctor.
Right.
So that was over the phone.
That's so insensitive. But I think he might have said something else. I might have read this in the book. He might have said, why are you here? Like, tell me what's wrong. And what? When I read that, I felt so uncomfortable. I said, what an uninviting way to meet a new patient. A better approach would simply have been to say hello and let's talk about how we can learn more about the symptoms that brought you here. But
right.
I've been in many places and heard many stories as a Reiki practitioner and doing hospice work for 8 years. And unfortunately, there are many doctors who are unable or unwilling to reach out with empathy, which we just talked about, which you and I are loaded with, and so many other people that we just know how delicately to approach someone. And a true healing environment means a safe and loving place where someone can feel hope is possible. And that includes the staff, the nurses, the receptionists, the technicians, and everybody in that facility. And I think at this stage, sensitivity training should be a requirement for anyone who's working with people who come in asking for help with their health. You know, it takes time and effort on everybody's part to develop trust and a caring interaction. And that's really the only way healing can be accomplished. And many people drawn into this healing work often had traumatic beginnings like you did, like I did. But you can't find healing only from book knowledge. True, effective healers overcome their issues and blockages so they can become better people, better practitioners, better parents, and better human beings. And I believe that's what your journey through this illness did for you. So something good came out of the whole interaction with all the people you met and all the tests you had and all the triumphs you had in your personal life. Now, you mentioned an oncologist at Boston's Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and he used a term when you first met him that I thought was just terrific. Do you remember what you called it?
Watchful waiting.
Can you tell our audience what watchful waiting is?
Yes. So when I went to the first doctor, he said immediate chemo. And then my mom said, please get a second opinion. So that's when I actually got a second, which was his fellow doctor from this other hospital down south. And then when I flew up to Boston, the doctor said, what we want to do is we want to watch and see.
What we want to see that. What was his reason for not starting immediate chemotherapy?
Well, there were some very key reasons. When your white cell count is 70,000, your immune system is already extremely compromised. So if we started any kind of chemo, which, you know, is going to go in and just start to kill everything,
right,
that's going to compromise me even more.
I believe that would have happened, yes.
Yes. So his philosophy was, here are the key things I want to see. If this happens, you're going to come back in 3 months. We're going to see if you drop weight real fast, if you're having night sweats, and if you are so exhausted that you can't even get out of bed, then you call me and you
do that. Yeah. Well,
you call me and immediately come up. That was what he said.
Very, very fortunate to find this man. And I think that approach makes good sense. But you also probably told him you were going to start a holistic regime of treatment when you decided not to pursue a traditional treatment. Can you tell us how you spent your days and the plan, the wellness routine, and the people who you decided to work with? You didn't just get healthy by doing nothing. You did a lot of work consistently, patiently, and with intention for healing. So what was your plan?
Well, I didn't actually know I was going to go down the complementary alternative approach. What happened was, when I was ready to get on the plane, again, my mother looked at me and she said, go get some acupuncture and go get a massage. And I said, Mom, I have cancer. She said, yeah, I know, but you need to de-stress your body.
Yes, energy work does that. Yes.
Yes.
Relaxes the body so that self-healing mechanism in the body can start to build up the immune system. Absolutely.
And before, the day before I went to Dana-Farber in Boston, she took me to her Reiki master.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never done Reiki. I didn't even know what was going to happen. And I'll never forget, after my session, she said some very key things.
How did you feel? How did you feel?
I felt so peaceful.
Mind feel? Yes.
I felt so peaceful. Well, for a month, I couldn't even think clearly, and because I was waiting to get into the doctor, and I felt the most peaceful I had in those 3 weeks than I had in a long time.
Because that's what energy healing, certain modalities, Reiki is one of them, that's what it does. It helps connect to your own inner energy, spirit, or soul, whatever you call it, and to the greater universe, to a bigger plan than just your own personal needs at the moment. And when you do that, you do feel like you're part of something very important that will help you, that will begin to be a part of your life. And that's what you felt. You felt peace, and you also felt hope. That's what that first treatment probably did for you. And you write in your book, after you had a session with Alice, the healer who works with intuitive reasoning, which as a Reiki practitioner I do too. I use intuitive reasoning and restructuring of the thought patterns and releasing embedded, thoughtful, painful thoughts from childhood. And you wrote, thoughts and emotions create how we feel. Our energy creates our health or disease. Thought is the core. Where you are putting your intention becomes a model of experience about to happen. If your thoughts tend in the direction of worry or fear, then that's what you get. And that's extremely truthful. So you were upset about your illness, fearful about your illness, probably upset about other things that had happened earlier in your life, and you needed a way to eliminate from your cellular structure those thoughts and those memories. And that's what part of your healing process was about. So can you give us an example? Alice also used some visualization techniques with you, and that helped you to get rid of old programming and fears that you called your baggage. Do you remember some of those visualization techniques?
I remember many, many, many of them, and I also journaled them. But one, there were a couple of key ones I'll never forget. You know, when you, the type of cancer I had is, it's called systemic, so it's everywhere. It's in your lymphatic system. It's in your blood. And so you can't pinpoint one specific area of the body. So I would actually do a lot of healing. I would work with, I'm not sure how many people have heard of, you know, the different chakras within my body.
Oh, yes, people. I work with that as a Reiki practitioner. Many people listening to this show are very aware of the energy centers of the body, the chakras. And they're just as important as all the other systems of the body, the organs, the lymphatic system, the neurological system, the digestive system, the reproductive. It's just as important as any of the other functions of the body, the energy points. So go on and talk about your visualization.
So there was one very specific one that we would do when I knew we were getting close to going to the doctor, where I would actually make sure I had my hard copies. I knew what was written down, where I knew exactly, which is kind of where the lymphatic certain tumors that were in my body. And what we would do is I would imagine that there was a bulldozer in my body,
mm-hmm.
and that there was, you know, and I set up my team, and there'd be an army, and there'd be the bad cancer cells and
right. The
good ones.
Clean them out.
We got good cells too, so we have to be careful
not to
that
disturb them.
That's right. That we knew which specific cells I was holding on to, and we would literally go in there and we would just bulldoze. But I loved working with Archangel Michael and Raphael, because they are, you know, specific angels, where Raphael would come in and he had swords and he would cut certain things out. And I mean, I had all kinds of things I was doing, but I loved it.
Lori, were you aware of Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael before you became involved in this energy work? And the people,
no,
I'm sure not, as I was not aware of all those things years ago when I would have been a skeptic about a lot of this. But yes,
We
have helpers in spirit. We have healing energies around us. We didn't come into this world alone, and we're not living this life alone. And when we leave at the end of this life, we will be one with all these energies of love. And you learned all this through your illness, and you learned the greatest truth that anyone could learn in this world. And I'm sorry you had to go through the illness to do it, but the rewards are wonderful, life-changing. And I want to ask you, you had two parts that you set up for yourself to heal yourself. You called it the external techniques, and the second part was internal. The internal. Can you tell us something about the different parts briefly?
They were just kind of my, I call that chapter actually my treasure chest, or my toolkit. And so there were certain things that affected the external part of my body, and then there were things that were the internal. And for me, you know, if I was doing Chinese medicine, which really I want people to understand, I didn't just do acupuncture. I went in to do acupuncture. I walked out with Chinese medicine. And
Lori, from your book, I have a better understanding of that. And were anyone to come to me to need this type of treatment, I would recommend it highly. You said that it was the backbone of your alternative healing practice, and there was herbal therapy, acupuncture, and you even described acupuncture. Would you do that for us? Because I believe they all work together. You need a team. You need an herbal Chinese.
But this is not just somebody that has had 100 hours of acupuncture.
Oh, no, no.
So
yeah.
This is a doctor that goes to school for 7 years, and then they have to pass a board, and then they become board certified, and I'm not sure, I always forget the initials. It's the NOACC, whatever, something of Chinese medicine.
to traditional Chinese medicine. But you're right. You need somebody who is a doctor of Chinese medicine. And then you said exercise and diet were important. And in the internal part of your, or spiritual technique, that's what it was. Part two was about internal and spiritual techniques. What was that about?
Well, the spiritual was really coming closer and having a better relationship with God. I became more of a, I mean, I was raised Catholic and, you know, I had all that in the beginning of my life, but then something made me just get closer and closer and a better understanding. And I learned to give it up and knew that I wasn't in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute I figured out that I was in charge of certain things, meaning
your choices.
Exactly, my choices. But
not
I knew
what was
in the end.
To you. That was part of a bigger plan for reasons sometimes we don't understand. And you did also say that Reiki took you on a self-healing and voyage of inward discovery. And it not only was calming, but it also brought you back to this divine energy of God or the divine or universal source. And what message would you want readers to take away from your book? In one sentence.
I want people to understand that we all have life challenges, but it's what you do with those life challenges. So on my journey, not only did I learn that I had life struggles, I had life challenges, but I also created life changing.
And choices.
Yes.
That's exactly.
And that we are a part of this journey.
Yes.
That we need to all come together and understand that you do have an inner voice, and the only way that you're going to know that is you have to take that time to sit, be quiet, and honor who you are.
I love that, and I love your book, and I love
thank
the
you.
Discoveries that you made, and I want to thank you, Lori Beck, for sharing a truly remarkable and courageous story of healing. Healing beyond the physical issue of cancer into a truly conscious, awakened, and loving being of life. Your book was the story of so many of us overcoming the misguided or misperceived messages everyone receives in relationships and the suffering from these interactions, which often lead to life issues and ill health. Learning to strive for personal excellence and learning to forgive ourselves and everyone else leads us to a healthier lifestyle. Please go to LoriBeck.com to purchase I Am Living to Tell. In summarizing today's show, let me say that the impossible is never truly impossible. It is only the thought or fear of change that stops us from embracing all challenges, illnesses, or sorrow to recreate the best scenario free of any perceived limitation or negative outcome. I would like to read the Serenity Prayer, which Lori shared several times in her book, and it goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. So, as we all know, or should know, learning to let go is a gift in itself. And allowing and accepting with love and gratitude the gift of this physical world and our days in it are the gifts to true healing, wisdom, and freedom. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, or go to WebTalkRadio.net and my new radio show on Dream Visions 7 Radio Network to hear the stories of miracles and everyday challenges and successes.